This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. This crisp morning to everyone here and on the internet. This is the meeting of the Monday morning, the 21st, of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. It is the 21st. 26th. I lost a few days. In any case, the meeting will come to order, and the secretary will call the roll.
Dempster?
Here.
Gant? Gerstad? Merchant?
Miles?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
Adelstein?
Here. There being a quorum present, the meeting comes to order. The first order of business will be the approval of the minutes. They were seconded by Dempster and
Gerstad
moved approval. Any other questions or any additions or corrections to the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion is accepted and the minutes are approved. This morning, our first order of business will be hearing Senate Bill number 73. Are there any proponents for Senate Bill 73, please? I remind anyone who testifies to be sure and put their name on the log so the secretary knows who's spoken.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, I'm Robert Garcia. I'm from United Blood Services in Rapid City. And a brief apology. My boss, actually, Beth Ann Furley, was supposed to be here today and unfortunately had a death in the family over the weekend. So I am here in her stead, hopefully to enlighten you a little bit of why we believe this bill is a good idea, and also to answer any questions that may be outstanding after my remarks. First of all, Senate Bill 73, Senator Larry Roden first heard me talking about this concept of allowing 16-year-olds to donate in South Dakota a while back. At that time, it was our belief that South Dakota state law, by implication, allows 16-year-olds to donate blood in this state. The law actually states that 17-year-olds and above may donate, and 17-year-olds without parental consent. The law seems to imply that 16-year-olds, therefore, may donate blood if they have parental consent. We had resisted drawing 16-year-olds for a while as a South Dakota company, in spite of the fact that our legal arm had told us that by implication we were on solid ground to draw 16-year-olds. We felt as South Dakotans that we really needed the law to specify that it's okay. We didn't want to make assumptions under the law. We feel like that's a dangerous thing to do in any case. And so in talking about it one day on the radio, actually, Senator Larry Roden heard my discussion of it and invited us to prepare the way that we thought the law should read. And so that is kind of the background of where we have come from. This amendment requires that 16-year-old donors have to have parental consent before they may donate blood. At the same time, we wish to maintain the law as it is currently written as it pertains to 17-year-olds. Unlike 16-year-olds, they may currently donate without parental consent. We believe that element of the law should remain intact. We recognize that 17-year-olds are still minor children under the law, and therefore we believe that parents should still be afforded the opportunity to prohibit that donation if they wish. The current law has such a provision. We seek to maintain that as written. That provision was not written into the proposed language of the amendment as it pertains to 16-year-olds, since by default, a lack of written permission from a parent constitutes a prohibition by parents. So now that you know how we'd like to change the law, we'd like to address the law as to why it needs to be amended. Young people, 17-year-olds plus college students, currently are responsible for donating about 10% of the blood that's collected in this state. Now, that's significant strictly in pure number terms, because blood banks constantly walk the thin edge of being able to provide enough blood, platelets, or plasma to hospitals and other medical facilities. It's also significant because it indicates a willingness and we might even say a desire on the part of our young adults to give back to their communities in a meaningful way at a time in their lives when they have precious few avenues to participate. Their age limits what they can do. In most cases, their lack of income means they don't have cash reserves to donate to a favorite charity. So giving blood then is a way to participate in a vital life-saving service without having to dedicate large blocks of time or non-existent monetary resources. And let's face it, anybody who's ever given blood knows that quiet inner joy that comes from knowing they may well have saved a life. And what more positive message can we give our young adults? Now, at United Blood Services, we've been carefully monitoring activities in the other 27 states that have been drawing blood from 16-year-olds. We've concluded that the process is safe, especially when it is conducted under careful and stringent guidelines that we've helped develop in cooperation with the American Blood Bank Association. In that respect, we've developed a new, more demanding chart to determine donor eligibility. It requires donors from 16 years old to 22 years old to weigh a little more, to be a little bit taller, in an effort to assure that the donation process is, first of all, safe for the individual and yields not just a unit of blood, but a positive experience for that young donor. These new charts are, in fact, so stringent that a few current donors in the 17 to 22 year age groups are now not allowed to donate. They've fallen off the edge of the chart. We believe the stronger requirements are good for the donor and they're also good for the blood supply. Now, I want to just specify that's a United Blood Services standard. It's not universal, but it is the way that most, will, especially if they're members of the AABB, do business. Now, for years now, United Blood Services, like other blood collection agencies, has conducted blood drives at high schools, and each time we do, we've been approached by 16-year-olds who want to be a part of this life-saving enterprise. In the past, we've even been approached by youth whose 17 birthdays were just days or weeks away and asking to donate. In the past, we couldn't do that. All we are asking for here is your help to pass a law to specify or to amend this law to specify that 16-year-olds are, in fact, allowed to donate blood so that it is actually spelled out as an allowable procedure. Thank you, and I stand ready to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. I see Majority Whip Senator Larry Roden, the prime sponsor of the bill, is here, and I'd like to have him come forward if he wants to any other remarks. Good morning,
Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I will be very brief, and I apologize to the committee for being late. I got sidetracked this morning, and this was at the bottom of the pile, so I missed it slightly. Again, I talked to the United Blood Service earlier this year about clarifying the language in law to specify that 16-year-olds can indeed donate blood with parental consent. I will leave it up to the wisdom of this committee. I think it's just a common sense bill to allow for that. I've donated blood for a number of years. I think I hit 10 gallons this year, not all at once, but I've been asked that, so I thought I'd clarify. But I think it's just common sense legislation that allows 16-year-olds with the permission of their parents to donate blood, clarifies in law practice to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Thank you, members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any other proponents of this legislation? Any further proponents to the Senate Bill 73? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 73? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 73? Seeing none, we'll close presentation by proponents and opponents and move to committee questions and or actions. Yes, Senator Gierstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I was 16, I had a bad accident. I was kicked in the stomach by a horse, and lost over half of my body's blood supply by the time I got to the hospital. But I got 8 pints of blood, and I lived. So I was very grateful, and I would be completely in favor of this bill. I think a 16-year-old, you know, appropriate 16-year-old would be happy to give blood. I would have. So I was happy to get it, too. I move to pass, Mr. Chair.
It's been seconded. Any further discussions? I suppose I could ask the first proponent whether I'm due for another one yet, because they do such a great job, but I've forgotten my card. All those in favor signify by saying aye. I'm sorry. The secretary called the roll, and we'll have a vote.
Dempster?
Aye.
Gant? Gerstad?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Six ayes, one excused.
Motion passes. Is there any motion to put it on the consent calendar? Yes, Senator Merchant moves to put on consent calendar second. Senator Gerstad. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Just, we don't need, aye. We don't need a roll call, I don't think. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The bill passes. Thank you very much for coming, Senator. Thank you for coming from the garden spot of the state. We're glad to have you here.
You are eligible today, by the way. Yes,
Senator Adelstein, could we express that we would like to maybe have a blood drive with the Senate and the representatives, possibly? Is that a possibility? Well, maybe we could do a drive here is what I was wondering.
I think we can.
Okay.
Would you like me to have them contact your office?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
You might want to label it separately. There's people that wouldn't want to take politician's blood.
I see this is the start of a new session, and we have two new pages. And if you'd introduce yourself, come to the microphone, introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and if you're 16 years old or more.
I'm Mackenzie Jones. I'm from O'Gorman in Sioux Falls, and I'm 17, and I do give blood. So.
Thank you very much. Okay, so there's some questions that some of the committee want to ask, because we only have one other bill. Please.
What are two things that you like about your father?
He's understanding, and he's helpful.
That question for those in the audience on the radio this morning, that was Senator Dempster, who happens to come from that distant point in the state. The next page, please.
Hi, my name is Sigrid Wald. I'm from Pierre. I am 18. I would donate blood, but I'm not able to because I took growth hormone as a child, so... Sorry, I tried, but I can't.
I'm glad you're here. Any questions from anyone? Thank you very much. And this morning we have three pages. How lucky can we get?
My name is Sarah Tibet, and I'm from Beersford. Was there a question, Alyssa?
Are you looking forward to your week here, I assume?
Yes, it should be a lot of fun.
And for those in the who can't see on the radio this morning, there are broad smiles on our three bright pages at this hour of morning.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We'll now turn to House Bill 1032. House Bill 1032. Proponents, please.
Good morning. My name is Gib Sedbeck, and I'm the Director of the Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. I'm here this morning as a proponent to House Bill 1032. House Bill 1032 is an act to revise the definition of an accredited prevention and treatment facility for the purposes of the prevention and treatment of alcohol and drug abuse. Current statute status, SDCL 3428-2, defines accredited prevention or treatment facilities recognized in South Dakota. It does not include those programs subject to Indian Health Services Quality Assurance Review under the Indian Health Services Manual. The issue is that the tribal alcohol and drug treatment programs are not presently recognized under South Dakota law as accredited, and so tribal members have to seek evaluation and or treatment off the reservation if they need to attend a recognized accredited program. What the bill does, the purpose of House Bill 1032 is to allow those tribal alcohol and drug treatment programs which have successfully completed the Indian Health Services Quality Assurance Review to be eligible for deemed status recognition by the Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. The deemed status recognition would accomplish the following. Allow tribal programs to obtain state accreditation by submitting existing tribal and Indian Health Services documents verifying compliance with federal regulations, so there would be no additional program review or need to generate another series of program policies and procedures to become accredited. It would eliminate a dual application process for the tribal program since the state would not have to conduct an on-site accreditation review to grant deemed status. Allow the tribal programs to submit information directly to the division for placement of individuals in treatment off the reservation, which eliminates the need to obtain another alcohol and drug assessment off the reservation in order to be placed in treatment. This will reduce the time an individual needs to wait for a treatment placement. Provides the information tools necessary for the division to refer individuals back to tribal-based programming for continued services after the completion of off-reservation program treatment or evaluation. The proposed change will not require an increase in funds or result in an increase in expenditures. This concludes my testimony on this bill, which has been brought forward to allow certain tribal programs to be accredited and eligible for deemed status recognition by the Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. I would urge your favorable consideration of this legislation and will stand by for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1032? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1032? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close testimony on House Bill 1032 and move to the committee for action or questions. Senator Dempster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Give a couple questions.
Yes,
what,
Senator.
What are the words deem status recognition mean?
Well, deem status is a terminology in law which basically says that a state like agency like ours can recognize other people's accreditation or other people's standards or agency standards or organizations. For example, JCO is one of those entities. CARF is one of those entities. And what that language does is under statute allows us to accept what they do as compatible what we do in regard to reviews. And that's what we're looking at doing with this change is adding Indian Health Services standards as well.
So it is you that provides the accreditation?
Correct. Like we accredit alcohol and drug programs, and what is allowed under 3428-2 is other programs who have other accreditations to allow us then to recognize them as being equivalent to ours.
Why would anyone need to attend a recognized accredited program?
A recognized accredited program assures that there's a minimum standard of care that goes on within the program, that research-based types of treatment approaches are utilized. Also recognized programs allows third-party billing, billing under Title 19, those types of activities.
So it's primarily a money thing, isn't it?
It's a quality of care issue as well as a money thing, too, yes.
Are there any further questions from the committee? Senator Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Gabe, a question for you. If we don't pass this bill, you have to go through another step process to provide that service, correct? Is that my understanding?
That is correct. It would have to be a different mechanism they apply to be accredited by the state, yes.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from the committee? Hearing none, is there... Senator Merchant? Senator Merchant moves do pass. Senator Miles seconds. Any discussion on that question? If not, the secretary will call the roll.
Dempster?
Aye.
Gant? Jurstad?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye. This being a unanimous vote, all those in the motion is said is carried, do pass.
Mr. Chair, consent.
Senator Hansen moves consent calendar, and Senator Dempster seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Goes on consent. There being no, I'd like to have on the floor if Senator Dempster would take House Bill, Senate Bill 73, and in the Republican caucus, Senator Merchant, if you would take it into your caucus, please. If Senator Jurstad would take to the floor 10 and 32, and in her in caucus, and Senator Hansen in our caucus, if there is any question. There being no further business before the committee this morning, we stand adjourned.
Motion.
Mr. Chair.
Need a motion.
Move adjourned.
Motion to adjourn. Seconded by Dempster. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Aye.
Yes. And any opposed? We stand adjourned.